This morning, we want to dive right into the scriptures, so take your Bibles, if you have them, turn to John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. We want to look at the verses that we have just sung about, that they will know we are Christians by our love for one another. The context for John chapter 13 is Jesus is in the upper room. He has just finished washing the disciples' feet. And it's what we know as the Last Supper. It is in this context that Jesus makes this very bold and important statement. And I want you to think about, again, the context. Jesus is going to be crucified. He's going to be leaving this earth, and he is going to be leaving behind his disciples, those individuals that he's invested his life in. And he's going to be entrusting to them God's kingdom. And so he's communicating to them at this very last time that he's actually able to sit down and interact with them in a heart-to-heart way. And he communicates to them what we see in verse 34. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." If you're like me, maybe you say, well, what's the new commandment? Were they never told before to love one another? No, that's not the new commandment. Throughout the Old Testament scriptures, it is clear that we are to love one another. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, it states, "Love your neighbor as yourself." So the new commandment is not to love one another. That's an old commandment. The new commandment that Jesus was referencing was, he says, "Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." Now the disciples, they didn't fully understand how much Jesus loved them. But in that coming days, they would begin to understand more fully the depth of Christ's love for them as he gave his life. How does Christ love us? Sacrificially, right? He sacrificed his life. How does he love us? Unconditionally. So the standard that God calls us to as Christians is to love like Christ loves us, to love each other unconditionally, to love each other sacrificially. Why should we love each other like Christ loves us? Verse 35 answers that. "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Isn't that interesting? That people should know that we're followers of Jesus, not by what we say, not by how we dress, but how we treat others. Specifically, how we love others within the context of the church here at CBC. Think of the implications for this. You could have a church that has the best program, the best ministries, the best children's ministries, the best worship teams, the best pastors. But if the people don't love one another, what good is it? Who would want to be part of that body of believers? But the opposite is also true. We might not have the best ministry or the best programs, the best building, the best whatever. But if we love one another, people will know that Christ is here. People will know that we're followers of Jesus. If there's one thing we need to get right here at CBC, it's that we need to learn to love one another like Christ loves us. As we continue to think about the standard that God has for us in loving one another, look with me on the screens at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22. Also want to encourage you to follow along in the notes in your handout this morning. God's expectations are that we would be recognized as Christ's followers because of our love. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says this, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." That verse says a lot about loving others. That our love should be sincere, and that we should love one another deeply and from the heart. This morning, as we think about loving others, I want us to be specifically thinking about us here at CBC, The relationships that we have in our adult Bible fellowships, in our small groups, the relationships that we have with people that we serve with. And I also want us to be thinking about the relationships that we have within the context of our families. But God calls us to love one another deeply from the heart. But what is it that keeps us from loving one another deeply? What are the barriers that gets in the way that keep us from loving us like Christ wants us to love each other? What are those barriers? So we think about that question. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians is in the New Testament, so if you're still in John, continue back past 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15.
Steve, I can't believe it. It happened again. This morning, Jeff forgot to tell me I was supposed to be the guy lined up to do welcome and announcements. I didn't even know till right before the service. This is like the second or third time. I'm getting tired of this.
Yeah, we talked about this before, right? This happened before, right?
Yeah, it happened before, and here it's happening again.
And did you say something to him? We talked about how you were going to talk to him.
Well, I didn't talk to him. I mean, but it's clearly a pattern. He gets all into just worrying about the sermon and forgets everything else that's going on.
Well, you've got to say something to him. You've got to talk to him today.
What's going on back here?
What? Jeff, you're supposed to be preaching.
Yeah, everybody can hear you.
Oh, shoot.
What are you talking about?
My mic's on.
Well, Todd has something he's got to say to you.
I don't. No, you need to get out there. This is embarrassing. Get back out there,
Jeff. You've already interrupted the service. Yeah, he's right here.
What's
going
on, Todd?
Right now.
It's not that big of a deal, really.
No, it's a big deal, believe me.
Well, it's a big deal now, I guess.
Todd, you've got to be honest with him. Tell him. Tell him what we were talking about.
Well, you know, I was supposed to do announcements this morning, and I guess you were supposed to let me know earlier in the week. I mean, I didn't know until... You know what? It's not that big a deal. It's fine. Probably I messed up. I'm sure that I didn't get the message or something.
So you're saying everything's okay? You're not upset with me?
No, I'm good, Jeff. You know we're friends. It's okay.
I don't want to go back out there and finish the message if you're still upset with me.
No, I'm not upset at all. That's fine.
Okay, as long as everything's okay.
It's cool. Can you believe it? He still doesn't even know what he did.
What was that, Todd?
Well,
you completely wimped out.
Well, I don't want to cause more conflict on this. I mean, I know what happens if I go saying stuff. People might hear it. It'll get misunderstood, and it'll probably make things worse. It's not going to help anything if I tell them the truth.
You got to be honest with them.
Look, Steve, I learned a long time ago. You're better off just keeping things quiet. Because, you know, when you tell people how you really feel, it just makes things worse.
Hopefully you figured out by now that's part of the script. One of the barriers that I believe that gets in the way from us loving one another deeply from the heart within the context of the CBC family as well as within our own families is we're not really honest with one another. Did you catch what we're trying to illustrate through that? Todd's upset. Right, he's upset that I didn't let him know ahead of time that he was going to be making the welcome and announcements this morning. And so his anger, his frustration is spilling over, and he's telling Steve what's going on. But when I walk back and I say, Todd, what's going on? How does he respond? Oh, it's no big deal. I'm okay. I'll work through it. Sort of candy-coated it. Appreciated Steve. He called him out. He said, Todd, man, you wimped out. You weren't honest with Jeff. Catch what Todd says? Well, I don't like conflict, and it'll just make things worse, and I don't want to be misunderstood. Can anybody relate to those kind of dynamics going on in relationships, okay? Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. You don't need to turn there. That was just the cue to get those guys started back there. Instead, speak the truth in love. The context here is a body of believers. We will in all things, all of us together, grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. And if we would take the time to look at Ephesians chapter 4 is about a group of body of believers. It's about unity. It's about oneness in our relationships. And it's within that context that is communicated that for us to be one in relationships, that we need to speak the truth in love with one another. Here's why. Let me give you some consequences for not being honest with one another. Number one is, if we're not honest with each other within our homes and within the CBC church family, we wind up having shallow relationships and what I would refer to as token unity. When we're not honest with others, it appears that we're unified, but it's only a surface unity, which quite honestly is no unity at all. When we avoid issues and being honest with each other in our relationships, we may be able to coexist together, but we're certainly not going to love each other deeply like Christ loves us. Let me give you another reason why we need to be honest in our relationships, particularly within the context of the CBC family as well as our own. When we stuff our hurts, our frustrations, and our anger with those around us, Satan is thrilled because he knows that he will be able to leverage what we're stuffing. The second consequence to lack of honesty in relationship is we give the devil an opportunity to cause division in our relationships. This lack of honesty breeds distrust because of us not talking through what's really on our minds and hearts. We begin to draw our own conclusions about people's motives, about people's intent. This lack of honesty with our thoughts and feelings will eventually spill over in unhealthy ways, such as a passive-aggressive behavior, or some of our frustrations will begin to spew over to others in some unhealthy conversations. As a staff here at CBC, we are very committed to speaking the truth in love. Some of you might have heard me use the phrase truth and grace. We need to be a group of believers. We need to relate to one another with truth and with grace. Sort of the same way of speaking the truth in love. We need to be honest with one another, but yet in a gracious and loving way. One without the other causes problems. Over the years here at CBC, I've sensed that because of our Lancaster County culture, some of you have grown up in Lancaster County, some of you are new to the culture, and you might be saying, well, what does the Lancaster County culture have to do with speaking the truth in love to one another? Traditionally, culturally, Lancaster County is a very non-confrontational, passive kind of culture. To help you out, let's contrast Lancaster County culture with Italian culture. You understand what I'm saying? My wife, Michelle, her maiden name was Castellini. What's that tell you? Such a shame. She had to trade it in for Burkholder. She comes from an Italian family through and through. I can remember the first time I had the opportunity to interact with her family. We were dating when I was at Lancaster Bible College. During fall break, I went down to see her family in South Jersey. And she invited me in, and I walked in to right in the middle of a family discussion. You know what a family discussion is? In the Italian lingo, okay? Voices are raised. I come from a Lancaster County culture where we very seldom did. Mom and Dad and everybody raised voices. We were very quiet, calm, non-confrontational. The Italian culture is much different. There's good things about the Lancaster County culture. There's bad things about the Lancaster County culture. There's good things about the Italian culture. There's bad things about the Italian culture. But my point is this morning that, yeah, there's elements to not always going around blabbing how you feel and making big issues out of nothing. But at the same time, we have a tendency to minimize what we're really thinking and what we're really feeling. And I believe that that maintains shallow relationships as well as cause a seedbed for the opportunities for division, distrust to grow. So why aren't we honest with one another? Again, I encourage you to follow along in the back of your notes. Just let me share with you three thoughts And here again, they come out of my experience. They come out of my struggles with this. I'm certainly not saying that I have arrived. I still struggle with understanding the challenge of speaking the truth in love, living out truth and grace that flows from my heart. But here's some of the reasons why we're not honest with one another. We don't like conflict. Most of us, if not all of us in this room, don't enjoy the tension that comes with conflict. And we know that if we're going to be honest with others, it's going to lead, or potentially it could lead, to conflict. Second reason that sometimes we're not honest with each other is we don't want to be judged or misunderstood. When we're honest with others, they may misjudge our intentions or our motives. Our motives and intentions might be to really work things out, to improve the relationship. Here again, I'm thinking in terms of people that you worship with, you serve with here at CBC, or maybe in the context of your own family. Your desire is that you would be able to grow and work through this issue, but you're afraid that if you say what you're really thinking, that you're going to be misunderstood, you're going to be judged. And three is you're concerned that it will make the situation worse. Let's face it, speaking the truth in love, if not received well, can get ugly. I know there have been times when I share the truth in love only to have someone get angry and upset with me. Some of you come from families where you've learned very early on it's not safe to be honest. There's just three reasons why some of us can say, you know what, I'm really not going to be honest with my husband or wife. I'm really not going to be honest with my children. I'm not going to be honest with my parents. Or I'm not going to be honest with my small group leader. But as you look at those reasons why we're not honest, what is really the root issue? Do you see any common denominators in those reasons? Can you see that these are all fears? We're fearful of conflict. We're fearful of being judged or misunderstood. And we're fearful of making the situations worse. Can you see that your unwillingness to love others by being honest with them is being rooted in self-protection? Can you see that all the reasons point to a heart that is focused on self rather than on God and what He has purposed for our relationships? We get our eyes off of God and what He wants and what He has purposed and what He desires, and we get focused on ourselves and our own fears. So what's the solution? How do we find the courage to speak the truth in love to one another? I can't say that if you're going to be honest with one another within your family or within the context here of CBC, that people aren't going to get angry and upset with you. I can't promise you that the conversation is going to go well, that it's always going to work out. You know that. There's no guarantees. So how do you have the courage to take the risk to engage in people with an honest dialogue? Too often, we don't say the last 10%. You know what I mean by that? We don't say the last 10%. Let's pick on my buddy Mark. It's good to see Mark here. It's been a while. Might be the last time he comes back as I pick on him. I only pick on people I know, so if you're new, don't worry about it. Let's say I have a conversation with Mark. Say he's my small group leader. And we're talking about a small group, and as we're discussing the small group, 90% of what I think and feel about a small group, I know that Mark agrees with me. But that last 10%, I'm afraid that he might get hurt since he's the small group leader about what we need to improve and what we need to change and what he could do differently. So as we have the conversation about the small group, I never say the last 10%. What's probably the most important thing that I need to say to Mark? It's that last 10%. And so we leave thinking like everything's okay. It's that token unity. It's surface unity. The hard thing is to say the last 10% and then have to work through those kind of dialogues. You see the kind of culture that we're trying to create here at CBC? But how do we do that? How do we love one another where we can have honest conversations with one another in love? I'm going to give you three principles from God's Word. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Here again, you can just follow along. on the screen. Ephesians chapter 3 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him," referring to Christ, "we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." Now, some of you might be saying, what did we just read? Others might be saying, I think I know what we just read, but how in the world does that relate to having the courage to speak honestly and openly with one another? Here's what Paul is communicating to the believers of Ephesus. Here's what we need to understand this morning. Paul is reminding the believers of Ephesus all that they have in Christ. He's reminding them that they have been chosen before the foundations of the world by God to be adopted into his family, that he loves them, that he sees them as holy, blameless, and pure, that they are forgiven. He's wanting them to understand how God views them, apart from their relationships, apart from their circumstances. He wants them to understand that their worth, their value, their significance comes from the fact that the God of the universe has created them in their image. He's chose them to be adopted into the family of God, that they're loved and accepted by God. That's where their worth and value and significance comes from, needs to come from. And you say, okay, what does that have to do with the courage to speak the truth and love to one another? Here's why it is absolutely critical and crucial. Go back to my conversation with Mark. I'm not honest with Mark. Why? I don't give him the last 10% about how I feel like he's doing as a small group leader, because I'm afraid that Mark won't like me. I'm afraid that Mark's going to push me away. But when I understand who I am in Christ, when I truly understand that my significance and value doesn't come from whether Mark likes me or not, that gives me the freedom to be honest with him. Too often, our value and our significance comes from our relationships. It can come from a lot of other different things. But if you're going to risk being honest with one another within your family or within the family here at CBC, you need to be secure enough in who you are in Christ. That's not something that happens overnight. It happens as we understand the truth of God's Word, as we meditate, as God takes us through difficult times. Honestly, you know how it happens? It's when people like Mark get upset with me, and I have to say, you know what? Even if Mark's upset with me, the God of the universe has adopted me into his family. I'm a child of God. I'm loved, accepted, and forgiven by God. God thinks I'm great. God thinks I'm special. Am I going to care more about what Mark says about me or what God says about me? We need to understand who we are in Christ. Here's sort of the bottom line. When we live from who we are in Christ, it allows us to love from a place where we can risk being hurt and misunderstood. It allows us to be honest with someone despite how they may respond. If you're following along in your notes, we're going to skip solution number two. And we're going to go right to a passage of Scripture, again in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. Paul says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. God's heart's desire for us here at CBC is that we love one another, that we're a unified body of believers. More than anything else, that's what he wants for us. And I praise the Lord that God is doing that here in remarkable and significant ways. When I think about the kind of challenges that we have been through, and I look at the work that God's doing in our hearts and our relationship, I am so thankful for the way God is continuing to unite us together. But I know that for us to continue to walk in unity, whether it's in an ABF or a small group or within various ministries or as a church as a whole, we're going to need to value unity above our own comfort. It's principle number three, or solution number three, if you're taking notes. If we're going to be courageous with one another, if you're going to speak truth in love with one another, you need to value the unity of the body, which is the church here at CBC for our context, over our comfort. As I mentioned before, this is something that's very, very critical for us as a church staff. It's very critical that as staff and the elders, the leaders of this church, that we protect the unity of our relationships by being honest with one another. That's meant that we've had some very hard conversations because we don't always agree and we do offend each other. But how do we work through those times when we offend one another? How do we deal with the disagreements that we have? Do we stuff them? Do we pretend it's not a big deal? I hope not. I hope we sit down, have heart-to-heart, hard conversations. I can remember one conversation specifically that stands out in my mind. I wasn't sure how the conversation was going to go. It's between two staff members. They were in my office. I was like, you know what? You guys need to talk. You guys need to be honest with one another about what you're really thinking and really feeling about your working relationship. You know what they had to do? They had to risk their own comfort. It wasn't comfortable for any of us in the room. They had to risk their own comfort. And why were they risking their own comfort? Because they were committed to the unity of this body of believers. Because if we can't be unified on a leadership level, how can we expect that to flow down within the context of other relationships? And can you remember an individual saying in that meeting, well, here's the last 10%. I'm going to tell you how I honestly perceived what you did. Perceive how you are conducting yourself. They're the kind of conversations that we need to have. But if we're going to have those uncomfortable conversations, whether it's within your literal family or here at CBC, we need to value what God values most of all, and that's the unity of this body. And the last verse that I want us to look at is very, very critical. It might provide some balance to what I've been saying this morning. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. See what's being said up here? There's a contrast between what? The sinful nature, the nature of Adam that lives within us, that we many times refer to as our fleshly nature, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who's trying to lead us into truth and to walk in the ways of God. They are opposed, as it says, they are in conflict with each other. What God wants and what our sinful nature wants are usually in complete opposite of one another. Here's why this is critical to understand this passage of Scripture as we talk about speaking the truth in love to one another. Some of you are saying, thank you, Pastor Jeff. I have been wanting to give somebody a piece of my mind for a long time. And now you just gave me the go-ahead, the platform to go ahead and tell my Sunday school teacher, my small group leader, an individual in my group that's been getting on my nerves exactly how I feel about them. Oh, this is going to be good. And I can tell them, Pastor Jeff said. You and I need to be very in tune to what the flesh is saying and what the Spirit of God is saying. And I'll tell you this, if you want to have a hard conversation, you're not ready to have a hard conversation. If you want to be honest with someone, it's probably because the flesh is saying, yeah, tell them. Wise man told me quite some years ago, he said, Jeff, he said, this is exactly what I've said. When you want to go to someone and be honest with them, you're not ready to be honest with them. It's only when you don't really want to go to them and you really are going to them because you genuinely care about them. That's what loving others is, right? When you care about them more than you care about yourself. It's only when you care about them more than you care about yourself that you can have that conversation. Because clearly there are times when we need to keep our mouths quiet. Keep our mouths shut and let God deal with the situation without our help. Let God deal with another individual without our help. That is absolutely the case. So you and I need to be in tune to the Holy Spirit's leading and prompting me in our lives. We need to be in tune with our own hearts. Be honest with you. Between services, I realized that this message has caused quite a stir. Okay, I was getting a lot of different reactions and feedback to the message. One of the things it did remind me of as I interact with some people. Ultimately, for unity to be in relationships, we need to what? We need to forgive. Okay? You need to forgive. If you're not dealing with the sin nature that's in your own heart, if you haven't forgiven a person, there will never be unity in relationships. So first and foremost, you need to forgive. If you haven't forgiven someone, you go to them in an honest conversation, it's going to be a disaster because you're going to be looking for something from them. It's only when you've forgiven them are you at a place where you can have honest dialogue that can work towards protecting the unity in relationships. So let's think about practically what does this mean. For some of you, it may mean that God's going to ask you to have a very difficult conversation with someone. For some of you, it may mean that you're going to need to forgive someone. For some of you, you're going to just need to be quiet. The Spirit of God is going to say, no, you're not ready. No, you just need to trust the situation to me. Every situation is different. Every situation is complicated. But I'm giving you some principles from God's Word. I want you to know that God's heart is that we love one another, that we love one another deeply from the heart, that we love one another like Christ loves us, and ultimately, we cannot settle for a shallow token unity because we stuff things. We need to work through as the Spirit of God does a work in our hearts and allows that to overflow into our relationships with each other. Been talking a lot about the context here at CBC, but I want to end with probably more of an important context, and it's the context of your own family. For those of you who are husbands who are here, I want to give you a little assignment. All the wives are smiling. They're like, yeah, go get them, Jeff. Here's what I want you to ask your spouse, your wife, on the way home. I want you to say, honey, is there anything you need to be honest with me about? Now, you don't ask that because you're looking for some confession on their part. I just want you to give them the opportunity to say, maybe there's something we need to talk about, and I've been sort of nervous about talking about it. So the first question is, honey, is there anything you need to be honest with me about? Peter Ahrens. He's like, oh, no. I only pick on people I love, you know, people I know. Peter, if you say to Amy, is there anything we need to talk about? Anything you need to be honest with me about? She says yes. Your next question is that something you're ready to talk about with now? If she says yes to the second question, you better set aside time today to talk about that, okay? And here's what I don't want you to do, Peter, okay? I don't want you to say, oh, it's not a big deal, and defend and justify like us men usually do. I want you to focus on drawing out your wives, your children. Here's why this is so critical. It's the leadership's responsibility here at CBC to create a culture where people can be honest with one another, right? It's important that we create a culture where people can say what they honestly think and feel. Do I always get it right? No. Are we always going to get it right? No. But leadership's job is to create a culture here at CBC where we value honesty. We value speaking the truth in love, and we create it to be a safe place for people to say honestly what they're thinking and feeling. In the same way, men, it's your responsibility to create a culture within your own homes where your wife and children can be honest with you. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and just give you a chance to reflect on some of the truths that were presented from God's Word this morning. I want you to think primarily about your relationships with others here at CBC, and I want you to think about the relationships that you have within your own homes. What does speaking the truth in love look like in your context? What is the flesh saying? What is the Spirit saying? Let's stand for a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you acknowledging that we're pretty broken. Acknowledge that a lot of times we really mess up relationships. But we also come before you thankful for who we are, loved, valued, accepted. And I pray, Lord, that we would grow in our understanding of who we are in Christ, and that that would allow us to love others from a place where we don't need anything from them. That we would be able to love others unconditionally as we soak in your unconditional love. And Lord, as we love one another deeply, I pray that you would help us to be honest with one another. That we would be able to work through the hard stuff within the context of our relationships here and within the context of our own homes. Lord, we pray that we might do that so that others will be able to see your love, your light shining in our hearts. That they would be able to see that the way we relate to one another here at CBC is different than the relationships that they have at work or in the community. That they would be able to see you being lived out as we love others deeply from the heart like you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.